Okay, so we're continuing in Bilvavi here. We're on page Kuf Nun, in the middle of the page, which is in the middle of chapter 15. And we're discussing the idea of Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekom. The Tzadik falls seven times and gets up. And yesterday, the Tzadik told us that that Dafka, when we're going through these difficult times, these are the times that make us grow. And when we fail, during these times of failure and darkness, as we respond to them, we are eminently capable of growing in ways that are much no less important than when you finally are getting up and you finally have accomplished the goal that you're looking for, because the way to accomplish the goal is through the falling. Which brings us to this difficult situation now. As he ended off yesterday, as you're on this path of falling, you don't see the gains that are happening because you haven't yet scaled the mountain, as it were. So we're on the fourth paragraph on page Kufnun, Hahester Khan. Hahester Khan, who the hiddenness that exists here, Afo, Kuful, is double. Why? Well, it's a double whammy. When he's during the time of falling, when he's made the mistake, he doesn't see any light at all. He thinks he's an imminent failure. And even if he gets out of this falling, he doesn't yet see what he accomplished through that falling. Again, taking the idea of the anger, right? Guy says, I gotta work on my anger. Okay. So he studies some sforim to talk about anger. He learns some techniques to talk about anger. And 3 days into the program, he blows up at somebody in the worst way possible. So that's the falling. Okay. Then the anger passes. He gets up and says, okay, that was a mistake, but I'm not gonna let it get me down, and I'm gonna try again. So at that point, so what happened? At the time that he was screaming and yelling, he certainly doesn't see any growth. When he says, okay, I'm going to try again, he thinks, I don't know what, I didn't get anything from screaming and yelling. So, okay, I'm going to try again, and I don't know, I'm going to fall again. So the guy doesn't feel good at any time along the way. Don't feel good. So I know, it'll just be another day till I blow up with the next guy. And that's probably true. Right? Im Kain, it comes out, Bepam Haba, the next time, Kishahu Neufel, when he falls again. And so what happens? So the day later, he screams at somebody. But it was a different situation. Right? So now, Kishu Neufel, Lo Zocher, Lo Shachre, Nefilas HaKodemes, he doesn't remember that after the previous fall, Kishis Romim Nefilah, when he rose up from the falling, Hu Kibel Hasogas Kol Shehein, he received minute amounts of depth and appreciation for what is involved over here. He doesn't remember it. He doesn't remember that he's grown a little bit when you're falling. He only remembers the times of falling and pain that like he has now. So therefore he's very concerned about the times of falling. So in other words, while you're on this path, you're never feeling good about yourself during this situation. When you're falling, you for sure don't feel good. When you get up after the fall, you say, what did the fall help me? And you don't realize, now this obviously, we're always speaking of a person who's trying to get up. That's a very important point. If the person's not trying to get up, then you're really in major problems, because there isn't any gettings up. The Russia always falls. You know, it's interesting. Shlomo Melch says, well, the Tzaddik falls seven times and gets up. So what about the Russia? The Russia doesn't fall. He's always down. It's not a question of falling. Falling, just remember, how do you fall? There's an art to falling. What do I mean? You can only fall if you are up. Right? A Russia, he doesn't fall, he's always down. You know, That's what the Chazal say, that the tzaddikim, the Rishayim, are in the grasp of their Yetzer Haras. So they're always down. They're never up at all. They're always down. And they never were up, not trying to get up, and they're always down. So that's a Rasha. Okay. So that guy, you know, comes El, he doesn't think about tshuva, doesn't think about nothing, he thinks he's amazing, and he Badavka says, you know, yelling and screaming and losing your temper is a virtue, you know, and he works on it more, you know, that, we're not talking about those kinds of people. We're talking about the people who every El will regret what happened. And they say, okay, I'm Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to really come up with a plan, and I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, you know, and then what happens, you know, 3 days after Yom Kippur, you're screaming and yelling like you were before. But you did have a plan, and you did try something, and you said, okay, I'm going to try this technique. Right? So at least, at that point of recognition, you're getting up. You're getting up. Right? Again, this is not seven times. This is probably, for many of us, thousands of times is that seven. All right? But the point is, so every time you're getting angry, you're not happy with yourself. Every time you say, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to try again, you're still not happy because you don't think you've gained anything through this falling. And you know that getting up is just going to be a break till the next fall. And then you take a fall again. So it's always looking bad. And that's the catch-22 that the tzaddik's talking about. So how do we get beyond that? And then, of course, that develops, as they call, a defeatist complex. And you say, really, you know, I don't think this is for me. Because I've tried, and I've fallen 73 times. I've been keeping score since last month, right? So I've fallen 73 times, and this is too much for me. And you know what? I can't do this. And then usually the person gives up. And that's generally what happens. So now comes the words of encouragement. Avol, bottom paragraph now. Avol kishyeh, shalom amuna gemur b'rivri chazal. Sheba malkam shabali tshuva amdim tzadikin gemur amen yichon lamod. Now, the point is, you have to have emuna, complete faith, that what the rabbis say is true. It's a very important thing. If you just say, well, it's a nice, you know, Benjamin Franklin said it, you know, it's good for Benjamin Franklin. But, you know, if Chazal say it, then it's emes. It's they're the mouthpiece of Hashem. And when Chazal say, then the place of the Baal Tshuva, the Tzadik Gomer cannot stand. All right? So now, okay, so what does this really mean? This is such a misunderstood piece of Gemara. It's crazy. I'm a Baal Tshuva. You know, I sinned all my life. I decided to become frum. So, you know, like I keep Shabbos, keep kosher, keep a little bit, you know, but still has 95% of the baggage that they had before they became a Baal Tshuva. Like, they ain't better than the Tzadik Gomer. Like, let's not fool ourselves. Okay, because it's not really a Baal Tshuva. I mean, he's a little bit, you know, but, you know, the Baal Tshuva has to realize he has to be on the level to become a Baal Tshuva from being frum. There's lots of levels of Tshuva from, okay, now you keep Shabbos, kosher, and Taras Mishpacha, good. You go to shul 3 times a day, fine. Okay, so now you have to be you were a Baal Tshuva from being mamish secular. So now you're in the frum zone. So now you got to be a Baal Tshuva for being in this zone that you're at, right? So what is it really talking about? So really, the deeper meaning is, in other words, it's talking about the same person. It's not talking about two separate people. It's not saying we got the tzaddik here who never sinned. And we got the guy who did sin, and now he did tshuva, and he's better than this guy. It's not what it means.
It doesn't stand.
I understand, but it's still an incredibly powerful statement. If you're saying the place where the Baal Tshuva stands, the Tzadik Gomer can't stand, you know, clearly that Baal Tshuva is beyond. It's beyond. That's what it's saying. You can try to, you know, give all kinds of squeezing and pushing in other pshatim, but that's not what it means, and they wouldn't have said it that way. But what it really means is that, you know, when you were a tzaddik before you sinned, and then you sinned, and as a Baal Tshuva, you're greater than you were before as the tzaddik before you sinned. So we're talking about the same person. In other words, you know, there was a time where you weren't angry. When you were a little kid, you weren't angry. You know, you weren't always such an angry person. Now that you're grown up and you got all the stress of business and the stress of mishpacha and the stress of this and the stress of that and all these other stresses, and then you get angry. Right? So now you are the sinner of what you were before. Everybody's neshama is tahira. Everybody comes down this world pure. Nobody is forced to yell and scream at people. Right? Okay, maybe you had a proclivity to it, but still you didn't. So you start off as the tzaddik. We all start off as a tzaddik. That is what the malach makes us swear before we go into the world, that we're going to be a tzaddik. We're going to stay the way we were brought into this world. So we start off as a tzaddik, and you start off as a tzaddik gomor. But then you do averus, so now you're not a tzaddik gomor anymore. So now the best you can ever be is a baal tshuva. Okay, so now if you taka are the baal tshuva, then you are not, then you're not in the place as when you came into this world. You're better than you were. You came in as a tzaddik, untainted. Now you're tainted. Now to get out of that taint and to do tshuva on that, now you're standing in a different place. And that's the real meaning of that chazal. That's the real meaning. And that takes care of all the other, twisted, kvetched pshatim, as to saying, well, no, really, it's, you know, the tzaddik gomer, he never tastes, you know, if a guy never sins, man, oh man, that's unbelievable. You know, Chazal wouldn't say that there were only four people in the world who never ever sinned. And if it wasn't for the nachash, if it wasn't for the snake, they wouldn't have died. Alright? So, you can't say these people are worse. Because they never sinned. They resisted every temptation. It's not logical to say that. So that's what it's saying. Everybody starts off as a tzaddik gomer. But then we're not a tzaddik gomer. Question is, do we become a baal tshuva? And b'vokach shebaal tshuva omdim, as we said before, you stand and remain a baal tshuva. You don't fall back. You stay on that level. You finally did tshuva. You finally sheva yipol. Remember, and it's, you know, yipol hatzaddik v'kam, right? Because you were a tzaddik once. You were a tzaddik once, right? It's because you were once a tzaddik. You have a neshama. You're able to, even if you fall, you know, you're going to get up. So now you become this baal tshuva and you stay at that level. You don't fall back. Now you're a different person, and the old person you were doesn't come close to what you are now. So if you realize that and you believe those words sincerely, when Chazal say this is 100% true, v'hu yodeh, and you know, shehasaga shumakabel manafilos gedola yoser mehasaga hatzmuna bismane haliyah, that the hasaga, the apprehension, the grasping that you achieve during the fallings is greater than the grasping that is hidden during the times of growth, then vada yismach gam v'zman nefil shelo, then he'll be happy and in simcha with the fallings. That's so important. He has a feeling of joy knowing. Now, you know, of course, you're not going, yippee, yeah, yo, that I've yelled at my wife. Well, you don't do that. But knowing that through this nefila, through this falling, he is growing. Right? But he knows he has to get out of it. then you can't get out of it. And that's what shot in the pasuk, keep a simcha seitzeo, because with joy you get out. You know, when you know that when you leave, you're going to be a better person. Okay, so that's what's critical. If in other words, there's what to learn in the fall. So while you're fallen, you know there will be. You've exposed an area of your deficiency. It becomes clear that this is a problem, and this is what I have to work on. And now that will set me up for the future growth. So that future growth, and then you'll be besimka knowing that I can get out of this and grow bigger than this. Etzem yediyas hadvarim v'amuna b'hem yotzeres b'adam koyach lihismodeid karoi imasmanim akoshim. The essential knowledge of this concept and the belief that it's true will fashion within a person a coping ability, a proper coping ability to live through these difficult times. That's the key point. And this is the whole issue. People are so depressed. You know, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm a failure. I'm a this. I'm a that. because you're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of a growth pattern that you don't realize is happening. And if you realize that this falling is part of where I have to, what is necessary for me to become greater, then you realize that, you know, not all is lost. And if I just keep with the program, I'm eventually going to get to higher places. You know, and things are going well. We think, wow, I'm amazing. You know, I've gone for a week and I haven't screamed at anybody. I controlled myself a few times. Wow, I'm feeling great. And there's certainly nothing that you should feel good about that. There's no question you should feel good, but when you're in a cum position, that's good. But you have to realize that the nephila position is also part and parcel of the growth process. It's not happy. We're not happy to fail. We have this thing. Again, we talked about this lessons ago. You know, the ability to deal with failure and to realize that failure is part of success. So if you can realize that these failures are stepping stones to greatness, then you realize, okay, so that's part of what has to be gone through, and I'll eventually get to that place of success that I wouldn't have been able to reach had I not made these failures within my life. And but you got to believe that it's true, and that's what Chazal is saying. It has to happen. You must fall in order to grow better than what you are by the fact that you have fallen. What are you going to say? These four tzaddikim never were great. They were unbelievable neshamas. They're unbelievable neshamas that never had to fall. Everybody else is not as unbelievable as their neshamas, and falling is part of subsequent growth. And again, you know, a lot of times people may not even realize that they're falling. That's the worst state. A lot of times people have fallen, they don't even know they've fallen. A person doesn't want to hear any mussar. You know, that's a great speech, Rabbi. Everybody else had to hear that. I hope the people had to hear it heard it, Rabbi. You know, that person is, and that's the one you were trying to reach the whole time. Right? So that person doesn't even realize he's falling. He doesn't even realize he's down. So therefore, then those people aren't going to grow. But the ones that dafka are feeling bad and recognizing that I have a problem, those are the ones that are in the process of growing that exist there. Okay, so that is the concept. Now, how we're going to do to help get ourselves out of this, besides having the emunah, that's where he's going to get into the next section over here. Comments? Questions? Yeah?
So every tzaddik then is, except for those four, is a bal teshuva.
That's right. So, By definition. Because he sinned. King Solomon said there isn't a person in this world who does good and doesn't sin. So the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in the world does sin from time to time. What? No, it's a sin. That's all. He is deficient in something of where he is supposed to be. Right? So now he has to work on that. He has to work on it.
And how does a person realize that? Or let me rephrase that. In other words, you're suggesting that a person who is falling has to figure out that, in fact, that falling is part of growth.
Right.
Does that mean that a person that gives someone to mussar, rebuke, is actually, normally when, or often when that happens, people are pretty negative about receiving rebuke?
Yes.
But in fact, what you're doing is not just even correcting the rebuke, you're correcting the thing that's creating the falling, you're actually...
You're helping it. When you give a person rebuke, you're doing him the greatest service possible. So only somebody like Rabbi Akiva would appreciate that. That's Gemara brings down. I believe it was Rabbi Akiva that said, I really enjoy getting mussar. You know, in fact, Gemara had to write it about Rabbi Akiva, very few people like getting mussar. Right? They may say they like getting mussar, but they really don't. Right? You're right. So again, so the mussar has to be given in a certain way, and it's not so simple because people, the natural instinct is not to hear it. I'm perfect. What are you talking about? So, but you are really helping that person. You have to point out his fallings. If he doesn't realize that he is falling, then he's not going to get up. Right? The tzaddik realizes that's what makes you the tzaddik. The tzaddik, again, Sheva Yipol Tzaddik. The tzaddik acknowledges that he is falling. That's important. He acknowledges that he's falling. right? If other people don't acknowledge that they're falling, there's no way they're going to be a tzaddik, because we are all sinners. That's what we say on Kol Nidre night. We are all sinners. Every one of us in the room. Okay. How many of us are acknowledging that fact? Have acknowledged that we've fallen, and now have acknowledged that we have the work to grow. If we don't do that, then we're never going to be a tzaddik. Yeah.
No, but by the fact that they
didn't sin means they never were far away from Hashem.
Yeah, of course. That's the whole point. That's the exact point. So but being far away from Hashem creates a longing for what you have lost.
But you didn't lose it.
On a higher level afterwards.
You know, but it's possible, even though you haven't fallen, to want to get closer. So they were able to do that. They didn't need to fall to get. There's no way to say that those four people were any lower than others.
They weren't lower than others, Chas v'Shalom, but they were lower than they themselves could have potentially been if they had made a mistake and reached a different level.
I don't think so. Because if they didn't make that mistake, then they never ever. They were always very close.
They were always very close, but by always being close, then you don't have that.
If they were that good, Hashem would have made. If they needed more, Hashem would have had them sin. Hashem would have had them sin. That's what he did with David HaMelech. He made him sin, and he fell. And they didn't. So why didn't Hashem make him sin? If he loves us so much, he loved those four too. Why didn't he make him sin?
They were on an amazing level.
They didn't need to sin. They didn't need to sin. You know, it's just too theoretical for me. It's too theoretical. It's like, what's the difference? What's the difference? So we should promote people to sin? Okay, let's move on to the next subcategory. Kuf Nun Aleph. L'shatev es HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kol. So now he's all as wonderful as this is. He's just setting us up for something bigger right now. Okay, to bring Hashem into everything. Gam b'nisyonos u'bakashoyim. Even during times of tests and during times of difficulty. So here he goes. Be'oifen klali, in general, ha'mahalach shel tefilahu, the way we think prayer works is like this. She'odom bein bizmanim shel katnus and bein bizmanim shel gadlus. Tomid alav l'nasos lishbarach siach lefonav yisbarach. That a person, whether in times of smallness or in times of greatness, he always has to try to pour out his voice before Hashem. You have to recognize, shebekinyonim gedolim koinim heim mimashinira klapichutz gehatzlocha v'heim mimashinira klapichutz kikishol. You have to recognize in this area that that one acquires great acquisitions regardless if what appears on the outside is success and regardless of what appears on the outside to be a failure. That's what we've already said. As we said, a person has to pour out his voice before Hashem. A person has to incorporate in his prayers also the points of success and also the points of difficulty. Regardless if it's on levels of desire, thought, speech, and action. In other words, the key he's explaining here is the key to gaining from your failures, is what he's leading up to, comes through your prayers. Okay, this is where we gotta connect prayer into all this. Like, so how am I gonna gain through this? And here he says a very interesting idea. Hargoshas halev hapshuta shel mishlo hushu shubo hamuna kedaboyhi. The person who doesn't have the right emunah, doesn't understand this so well, it's not totally inside you. So what are the simple feelings of the heart of such a person? The tests in life that you haven't been able to stand up to, your failures, are like a waste of time. They came, and it was a mistake, and Baruch Hashem, that time has passed. And woe unto the fact that they came. There was a time where you made a big mistake in life. And now you look back, and you look back at the time of mistake as a waste of time, and you wish it didn't happen at all. When a person lives with the emunah and he knows that Hashem prepared that nisayon, that test for you, with an exacting measurement. And more than that, that the depth of the concept of why Hashem brought you the tests was so you should achieve an acquisition that you cannot acquire without these tests. Once you realize that, who maybe he understands, shekeshem shehu mishtati v'kodesh baruch v'asachasav, you understand just like you bring Hashem into your life with your successes, behechrech olav l'shatfo gam im b'nisyonosav u'b'kishlonosav. By definition, you must also bring Hashem into your life with all your tests and with all your failures. Through tefillah. In other words, what he's going to say is, you got to talk to Hashem about your failures. Not Hashem, just help me be better, but you have to get in and dirty with him and discuss with him all your averus. It's like almost like your analyst. Okay? You got to mamish articulate the low state that you're in. Tokvim shel dvarim, what's the power of these words? What's the import of these words? It's back to the old point. You got to live always with Hashem. So now, he's going to develop this. Hine matzinu kamasugi karbonos. Let's go off topic briefly, a little side topic. We find as many karbonos in the world, many animal offerings. Oila, chata, shlomim, osham. Different types of animal offerings. Now, again, we have a lot of trouble relating to this concept. There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Mizbech. This whole idea of animal offerings is a difficult concept. Yeshem Korbanos, Shigami Yisrael, Oichel Mehem. There are certain Korbanos that a Jew is able to eat part of the Korban. Yeshem Shisrael Osirbo, there are certain Korbanos that Yisrael is not allowed to eat. V'necholim B'chalkam L'Koyin, and that portion goes to the Koyin. V'chalkam Hashenu L'Bar'il, and the other part goes to God. V'yesh korban oila. And then there's the korban oila. Korban oila means it's totally burnt. Shushayach kulu l'kodesh baruch hu. That is only for Hashem. So now, the fact, you know, that for the last 2,000 years there's been no korbanos on an altar doesn't mean that the concept of korbanos is gone. And the concept of korbanos exists today just in a little different form. So the question is, how could somebody bring a korban oila today? So let's read on. Korban, the word korban, humilashin kirva, comes from the expression of closeness. Kiduam is from Akadoshim, as the holy books tell us. The whole point of a korban was to bring you closer to Hashem. If you didn't end up getting any closer to Hashem, then the korban was just about a waste. So now, kisha'ada mevin be'emes, shein etzlo chelik shlo shayich leboirei oilam. If a person can understand that the truth is that you have no portion, that there's no part of you that isn't shayach to Hashem, that doesn't belong to Hashem. If you can get your head around that idea, there's no part of you, of your life, that's not really owned by God. Regardless if it's a time of growth, if it's a time of failure, shakir v'shalo, LaKadosh Baruch Hu Kololos says Kol Ramacha Verem V'Shasai Hagidim, that His closeness to Hashem incorporates all your body parts. So if you understand that, Umegiel LaMadrega Shekula Oyla Gemur LaKadosh Baruch Hu, it comes to a level where He is an entire burnt offering to Hashem. V'Nitna Lo Avsharis Lios Kula Davuk V'Olam, He has the possibility to be totally attached to Hashem. Kolz Man Shadam Mishtatef Asavoy Rak Bechelik Minyonov, but if you only bring God into only part of the aspects of your life, let's say the times of success, ubechalkem lo, and in some not. Lo yitachan shitilo korban gemur lekadosh baruch. It's not possible you can be a complete korban to Hashem. So what do we mean? He's saying, so today, how do we bring a korban oila today? The burnt offering that totally goes to Hashem is to share everything in your life with Hashem, even the low points in your life. That is bringing everything, you know, and we'll see in a minute. These are the things you bedafka don't want to share with Hashem. Hashem, I want you to know I had very terrible machshavas today. And now did I have bad machshavas? I even acted on those machshavas. When was the last time you told that to God? That's the last thing you want to tell God. You're trying to run away from Him. That's the whole point. If you're living with Hashem, you gotta live with Hashem when you're in the dirt. Kufnum Beis. Belev kol adam yeshno makom lishnei yetzarim. In the heart of every person, there's place for both yetzers. Hayetzer atov, hayetzer ra. The good inclination, the bad inclination. Hayetzer atov, huakoach hadochef osa laslocha. The yetzer, tov, that's the power that pushes you to success. Vyetzer ra, vadochef lenakuda avucha. The Yetzirah pushes you to the other side. And you have the free will choice. Which one do you want to listen to? If a person brings Hashem into his world, only at the points when the things are going well, only during his successes, but when he fails, he doesn't bring Hashem in. Okay. Can skip the bracket. So la olam lo yegi la mahalach shel olah. He'll never become an olah, right? Im bekorban. It shouldn't say yeshna. It should say either eina or something else. It's a typo over here. Im bekorban eina bechina shel yetzohara. Okay. If in your korban you don't have the aspect of the Yetzirah in your korban, then that's not an oila kol. It's not a completely burnt korban to Hashem. In other words, if there's a part of your life, and what he's saying is you are the korban. You are the korban. So the highest korban is a korban oila. It all goes to Hashem. So you have to all go to Hashem. So how do you all go to Hashem? When you share everything with Hashem. Not just the successes. Not just when you walk into shul, you feel you're with Hashem. How about after you did an aver, do you feel you're with Hashem? That's the korban oila part. Right? The yiyu shiyom rishat tzarech lasas tshuva. There are those who say, do you need to do tshuva? Yeah. Achein kol korban shodom hoya mevi lebeis hamigdash. Hoya tzarech lasas tshuva koidem hakravaso. But every korban that a person brought in the beis hamigdash, yeah, what happened? You had to do tshuva before you brought the korban, as the Gemara explains. Sasha Haley, he said, the question is like this. How do you get to a point of tshuva? If during your fallings, you're living alone, and you don't have Hashem in that aspect, you never can get to Hashem. In other words, in the time of failure, you know, if you're not with Hashem, so how are you ever going to get them? How you gonna get, where's it going to come from? So all of a sudden you want to be next to Hashem? You're far away. All of a sudden you want to be next to? Husband and wife, you know, are separating themselves. You know, they separate. So how are they ever going to get back together? That's why separation is one of the dumbest ideas. Deal with it. I don't want to talk to the person. What are you talking? Talk to them. I'm angry. Talk to them. You have to be close to them when you're angry at them too. That's the point. That's the whole point. People get angry at Hashem. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want him in my life. Tell him why you're angry. Yell at him. Go ahead. He can take it. Yell at him. It's not No. Do it. You know, sometimes we'd be better off yelling at our spouses than running away from them. Not that I'm promoting yelling at spouses. Okay. But if you have three options, you have two options. You're upset with your spouse. You're going to ignore them and hide and give them the silent treatment for 3 weeks or yell and scream at them. Now, the best option is to rationally and calmly talk to them and say, you know, I'm upset for the following reasons. But, you know, men can't do that. They just can't do that, right? It's not possible. They don't know how to do it. They can't. They just cannot do it. Not too many women can either, but Can't do it. Okay, so what do? You withdraw. Oh, that's even better. So now that you withdraw, you're going further away. How's that helping? How's that? You're getting further. You're annoyed. There's something. There was a time, you know, before the fight, before the insult, before the whatever, before the how could she be so thoughtless or he be so thoughtless, right? You were close, right? And then something happened. You feel a little bit away. So what are you going to do? So I'm going to improve this. You know, for next 3 weeks, I'm not going to talk to her. So look what's up. So whatever was bad, doesn't matter whose fault it is. So from here, you went to here. So now for next 3 weeks, you're going to go to here. And when you're over here, you may find another sympathetic person that will take you even further. Right? It's better when you're right here, scream and yell. You know why? Because when you're screaming and yelling, you're still here. You're still here. Right? You're talking to the person. It's infinitely better than not talking. Okay, so I'm going to say, the rabbi told me I should scream at you. I didn't say he should scream at you. But he said, it's better I should scream at you sometimes it could be you're just upset, you need a time out for an hour. Okay, for certainly some of us, you got to go for a walk for an hour, calm down, and then come back. For sure that's better. But you know what I'm talking. I'm talking about the situation where we got the pouting spouse who's hurt, and I can't talk to her, and I can't this to her, and if she doesn't understand what's wrong with her, then who am I? She'll never hear it from me, or vice versa, right? But it's usually the guy. The women usually don't have trouble saying what's on their mind, right? The guy, you know, he closes himself up, and he I don't have to eat your dinner, I don't have to do this, and then he's just sliding away, right? So if you can't go for a walk for an hour and come back and talk, or maybe even a day, something, maybe a day, because depending on the type of ego and anger you have, whatever, but you know you're gonna come, it's just till I settle down. Sometimes it takes a long time just for you to be able to talk. But you have these others that just goes on for days and days and days. If you're going away to say, okay, I gotta calm down my anger so I could talk like a mensch. Okay, so it takes an hour, a day. It never takes a week. When it's beyond a day, it's not a question of how am I calming down, it's I just don't want to have nothing to do with that person. Right? That is wrong. As opposed to that, it's better to stay right here and yell. That would be better. Because you're still close. You can't yell at somebody unless you're close enough for them to hear you yelling. Right? So if you suffer from this withdrawal syndrome, it's better to yell and scream. Then you'll have to apologize for that too, obviously. But at least, you know, a wife should feel comforted when the husband's yelling and screaming that it's a lot better than he's pouting somewhere else and sharing his problems with the secretary. Infinitely better to be fighting with your spouse than getting counseling from somebody else that they shouldn't be getting counseling from. Right? So that's what he's saying already. The problem is, how are you gonna come to do tshuva? Right? If when you're falling, you're alone and you don't bring Hashem into things, then how are you ever going to do tshuva? So you got to be with Hashem when you're falling. Right? That's what he's saying over it. That's why you had to do tshuva before you brought the korban. How can you do tshuva before you bring the korban? Unless you're talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu in the state of falling. Right? Ha'admor Rabbi Moshe Mekabrin Schusik in Aleinu Hayoimer. The tzaddik Reb Moshe Kubrin said, "Adam shenichshol chas v'shalom b'avera gemura." Listen to this line: a person who stumbled, God forbid, with an avera gemura, the full marks of a sin, a sin with a 10. Right? You can imagine the worst sin possible. Ve'ena masugel miyad achri kein alechas adabrim Rabbi Yisrael, and if he's not capable of immediately afterwards going and talking to Hashem right after you've done the avera. You haven't entered the threshold of chassidus. You're not a proper chassid. Kahu omar kedarko. That's what he would say. Even the worst avera of your life, mamish, youth, whatever it is, you have to be able to, right afterwards, talk to Shem about it. because a chassid, what's a chassid means? He lives with Hashem all the time. So if you did the aver, you weren't living with Hashem. You know what? Everybody's human. You slip. There is the slip. So, but after the slip, you gotta come right back. You're human. Hashem has created us that there will be falls. There'll be a fall where momentarily you lost it. You forgot about a Kodesh Baruch. Okay. So recognize that you forgot it and then get back on track. You know, when you're in the midst of the sin, you know, everything gets blocked out, but the sin ends. And when the sin ends, there's nothing really that's blocking it out anymore, except you're not willing to want to share it with a Kodesh Baruch. Al Kapanim, bottom line. Hanakuda Pnimis Achasi. The bottom line is one thing. For a person to bring even the bad side of himself, that side of separation, to bring it to Hashem, you have to bring Hashem into every aspect without any exception. We've got another 2 minutes. For example, let's say, he's giving an extreme example. Let's say it comes into your mind a thought of heresy, that there is no God. So you push it away. Push it away. Certainly this isn't found by every individual. Even by somebody where it is found. It doesn't come all the time in the highest levels. But it is something that can happen. Lord, I'm noyful here shall avodah zora, chas v'shalom. Could be a feeling of avodah zora. Ulay ain't baral. Maybe there's not a creator. Ukvishar marnu, humiyad doichik esahirur mimach shafto. And as we said, he immediately pushes it away. He's giving you the extreme example. Why is he giving you this example? Because this example of believing there is no God. You know, more than eating treif, more than being machal shavas. You're saying there is no God. I mean, that's as putting God away as possible. That's why he's picking this example. So my answer, so what's the proper way to act at this time? We'll just do this one paragraph. You have to stop and tell Hashem everything. And this is what you should, this is your tefillah. Rabbeinu Shalayla. Pitzom, he's hard, here hearty, ulai atob acholin. So for a moment I thought that maybe you weren't around. But Hashem, who sent me that thought? You sent me that thought. Umadu, and why? Kumuvan, it's understood. Lo kedei sha'amin, but not that I should believe in those heretical thoughts. El kedei sha'atcha osa v'asiach daitimena, but that I should push them away and forget about them. Aval borali, but it's clear to me, sha'atu zesh shalachta li esa machsheva sakfir, you brought me these thoughts of heresy. And it's clear to me you want me to take it and get rid of it. So you hear what's going on. In order to drive this thought away or any other area where you're falling in, it could even be znus, immorality, etc., etc., you got to dig deep into your essence to find the strength you never had before. And you now have a knowledge of this strength and you could use that strength for this test, for the test of your life. To be able to dig in and talk to Hashem at this point in time, right? And, you know, it's bad enough, you know, that you're having these thoughts and you're saying, should I share these with Hashem? But yes, it's important to share it with Hashem. And the same is to share failures with a tzaddik or your rabbi or whoever you feel comfortable with. And ask him, what can I do to fix it? What can I do to fix it? It's a critical point. In other words, Hashem wants to hear from you when you're down, when you're failing, when you're making all kinds of mistakes. That's the goof of the most difficult time to share, and that makes the korban oila. When you're down and out, when you failed, and to say, Hashem, I'm about to fail, I'm thinking about this, or I have failed. Who brought me this test? You did. You wanted me to pass, and I failed the test. So now I feel bad about it. Give me the strength that I shouldn't fail the test again. I know if I fail the test once, you're going to bring it to me again and again and again, and I'll keep failing in it. And I need you to help me to not fail in this anymore. So to talk to him in the filth. That's what's required, and that's what we don't do enough. Okay, we'll continue this amazing thought Monday, Emir Tzishan.